So you know that the protection and encouragement of whistleblowers is a topic that I feel very strongly about. I wrote a book about it last year. I felt so strongly. So there's a new global study on whether whistleblowing laws are working or not. And this really piqued my interest because the results of this global study were released this week. It's a joint project from the Government Accountability Project and the International Bar Association. So what the researchers did was look at the strength of whistleblowing laws on paper around the world. They identified 20 global best practices. And one of the countries that they analyzed was South Africa. And the findings essentially are that our whistleblower laws have really fallen behind. So I spoke to Samantha Feinstein and Tom Devine from the Government Accountability Project. And I began by asking Tom Devine about what was behind the study, how they went about it, and what they were hoping to find out.
The roots of the study with the International Bar Association really began about 20 years ago. In 2000, the same year that South Africa passed its whistleblower law, other countries were starting to get interested in this topic. Now, before then, it was just the United States in 1978 and Great Britain in 1998, and whistleblower laws were sort of an oddity. But as they became more serious, we decided, well, it makes a big difference. If you're going to pass a law, do it right. Whistleblower law is like a free speech shield. When you go into battle with a metal shield, you got a fighting chance to live. Go into battle with a cardboard shield, you're going to die. And we wanted to come up with some rational criteria to distinguish between these, and came up with about 20 criteria that eventually became the foundation for global best practices. They were pretty much adopted by the Council of Europe and Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development and Transparency International. And that was always going to be incomplete, though. It's one thing to have rights on paper, and it's another thing to have them in reality. We never really did organize many other people besides my partner Samantha Feinstein to organize the research. But we did team up with the International Bar Association to sponsor the project, and they've been our partners for the last 2 years.
So you looked at South Africa. South Africa's got what's called the PDA, the Protected Disclosures Act, which many of the whistleblowers I've spoken to say is good in theory, but not so good in practice. And it really is problematic in terms of protecting whistleblowers. What was your analysis around South Africa's whistleblowing laws, and where do we fit in internationally according to those 20 markers that you look at?
Well, when it was passed, South Africa's law was a pioneer law for freedom of speech. It was only the third country in the world to have a whistleblower law. But that was 20 years ago, and we've come a long way since. And now it's kind of like a dinosaur rights compared to pioneer rights. On the positives, it does have about a 21% success rate, which is twice as good as the United States. Out of our 20 criteria, it provides broad rights with no loopholes. There's wide subject matter that's covered for the whistleblowers to challenge, no loopholes there. It shields their rights from gag orders. It provides them a genuine day in court, which is better than the United States law. It even gives them a transfer option if they win their cases so that they don't have to go to work for a boss they defeated in a lawsuit. But that's 5 out of 20 criteria. They flunked 15 out of 20. And if we compare them to the rest of the world, there's 48 nations now that have whistleblower laws. They don't really protect against spillover retaliation, for example. They don't protect those who are applicants for a job, who are former employees to deal with blacklisting. They don't protect those who are associated with the whistleblower, those who are about to blow the whistle and doing their homework, those who are mistakenly perceived as whistleblowers. It takes a whole community to challenge an abuse of power. And this law only protects the final messenger, which is going to lead to isolation and be fatal, which means a judge can be as arbitrary as he or she wants to in deciding the case. If you win the case, you're not guaranteed of being made whole, getting back to even. So you can still lose by winning. There's no personal accountability for the bullies who retaliate against you. There's no corrective action. You're not enfranchised in acting on the evidence that you raised. And that's the number one reason people remain silent. They don't think it'll make any difference if they share their evidence. Probably most basic, there's no review to see that the law keeps pace with global standards. So what was once a pioneer is now a dinosaur.
Samantha, can I ask you just to take us through some some of the cases that you looked at. You were able to do an analysis of the cases. Talk us through that and what you found.
So one of the key findings in the study, and it's consistent with what we saw in South Africa, is that there's a lack of utilization of whistleblower laws. So since the law was enacted in 2000, we've only found 33 final case decisions in whistleblower cases that arose under the PDA. So that's really a small volume of cases. Now, the positive is I would actually classify this as a medium use country, because for the most part, there were no cases or just a handful of cases in other countries. So South Africa had at least some cases where we could do some analysis to show when people are actually trying to use this law, what are the outcomes? We found that of these cases, 7 won and 25 lost. That means that of the losses, 21 of those were on the merits of the case and 4 were on procedural grounds, which means there was no final decision on the merits of the claim. It was thrown out for a procedural reason, like being out of time. This equates to a 25% success rate for decisions on the merits, or a 21% success rate if you're including procedural losses in the mix. So the majority of whistleblowers are losing when they utilize the law to protect themselves. And we also took a look at how many of these whistleblowers are requesting temporary relief from the court. And we found that only 2 out of 6 people who requested temporary relief received it. And we took a look at the compensation for whistleblowers who won, and we were only able to see how much compensation there was in 2 of the cases. And we found that the compensation was so small that it's hardly enough to justify the nightmare of litigating these cases. The highest one that we saw in South Africa was about $18,000 US, which the internet tells me is about 278,000 South African rand. One of the most alarming things that we observed was that in 4 of the cases that lost, they applied the kind of loser pays rule, where actually the whistleblower had to pay not only their own costs, but the opposing party's costs. And it's really essential for the success of the PDA to make sure that loser pay rules cannot be applied in whistleblower cases. Otherwise, it would have really a strong deterrence on the utilization of the law. And so I think it's worth noting that when you're looking at the success rate of whistleblower laws, one of our biggest blind spots was that there's no data on settlement agreements. And if we knew how many whistleblowers were settling their cases, or presuming that some did, that shows you to an extent that there is some relief. There's more relief for whistleblowers than what these cases are telling us.
Samantha Feinstein and Tom Devine there from the Government Accountability Project. And I'll tweet a link to that whole report. It's worth going to read. Essentially, what it finds, though, is that we only meet 5 of the 20 global best practices on international laws on whistleblowers. We just aren't doing enough to protect whistleblowers. I've been advocating for a change in the legislation. We've heard the Zondo Commission hearing submissions on how we need to change the legislation. And this just backs up that argument that things have to change if we are going to encourage whistleblowers to come forward.